We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. Well, HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. So start saving with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-GOLD.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
All right, second hour, Clay and Buck gets going now. And we told you, give you a little update here on the latest on the campus. Gaza Solidarity Encampment, Clay. That's what the cool kids are calling it. A Gaza Solidarity Encampment. Who knew? Now we know. That's what they're saying. Solidarity, you know, like the communists used to talk about a lot. Just saying. The Communist International, right? A lot of solidarity talk. We have Emory University. Chaos at Emory. Georgia police officers taking a bunch of screaming, kicking protesters into custody. It's also amazing, too. They all start, like, shrieking on these videos when the cops are, you know, putting them into handcuffs or whatever, completely freaking out. What did they think was going to happen? They act so surprised. The officer's like, I'm going to arrest you. I'm going to arrest you. You're not leaving. I'm going to arrest you. And then eventually they get arrested and they really throw a tantrum. And they look like a bunch of, you know, four-year-olds who are about to get spanked or something. Like, they're really out of line, losing their minds on this stuff. And, Clay, we've got Columbia, Harvard, NYU, University of Southern California, UT Austin, UC Berkeley, Brown, Yale. I mean, that's not exhaustive. University of Minnesota, I think, all those schools, though, have had this going on. It's remarkable what a contagious hysteria this is for these kids. I think a lot of it comes from the professors, too. And what's so troubling to me, or a lot of things troubling to me, the anti-Semitism, the ignorance behind all of this, but also I think it goes with how absolutely soaked top to bottom these campuses are in race politics.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why do people in Minnesota or Texas, and I say college, you know, college campus kids and also professors, why do they care so much? Of all the wars that have happened, Clay, of all the violence that has gone on in this world, let's say over the last few years, they care so much more about this one. Where were the solidarity protests, you know, against the Russian invasion? You know what I'm saying? I don't remember any kids screaming and crying on the campus floors about this one. It's because they think of this, as we've always said, and it's true, as a racial domination issue of the Israelis over the Palestinians, a racist invasion.
Yeah, and I think this is also important to kind of characterize. You can believe that these people have the right to advocate for whatever position they want. But you can simultaneously believe that you shouldn't be able to take over quads and start to camp there. That is a violation of property rights. That's a violation of codes relating to speech at universities. So I see some people saying, oh, I don't want to cheer on the idea that you can't say whatever you want on campus, but you have to do it in a way, and the schools should, in my opinion, apply content neutral policies. And so an easy way to think through this is, what would happen if the KKK decided that they wanted to take over the quad at Columbia and they wanted to argue that black people are subhuman and not deserving of equal rights in the United States? Immediately, Columbia would clear them off of the quad, and they would expel any student that made that argument. Similarly, I think if you said, okay, we believe that trans people should be sterilized to the extent that trans people can even have kids because they're making awful decisions with their bodies, and also that gay people shouldn't have the right to get married, and you wanted to take over Columbia or NYU's campus quad, they would immediately clear you out. So my position on this is, we need content neutral policies that are applied, and no one should be able to take over the central part of any university, put up tents, and reside there. And also, this is important, I think, a lot of these people are not students. And I think what they're discovering when they're arresting people is, wait a minute, this is some 27-year-old professional protester. And I am truly intrigued with, where is the money coming for this suddenly to emerge? There is certainly a virality associated with it, where some kid sees the Columbia protest and they decide, oh, we're going to try to do this at the University of Texas at Austin, or we're going to try to do this at University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, right? Like, you can see how that would spread. There's some viral contagion element, but also there's somebody writing the checks to allow this to have officially gotten underway in the same way BLM did. So where is sort of the puppeteer here deciding that they want to create this sort of unrest?
That's the kind of investigation that, if the media was about giving the public facts, you would have a team of people at the New York Times looking into any funding sources. It has been pointed out, a lot of tents that are the same appearing simultaneously at these events seems a little suspect to me. So yeah, but they won't do that, as we know, because they don't want people to know if there is any funding. And usually, if someone were to ask me to guess where I think the funding's coming from, it would come from some NGO, and you'd have to dig a little more, and you'd find, well, where's that NGO getting its money from? A bigger NGO. And where's that getting its money from? I don't know, the Emiratis, Soros, you know, there are a couple of ones that I could guess might be funding this NGO, but we're never going to know, because they don't want us to know. They want to pretend that this is just college kids, you know, standing up for truth and justice. And to the point about, they're playing a lot of games with euphemism and a lot of games with the language choices that they use here. As I've said, there was, some of them are talking about Zionists. It's like, well, you're not just talking about Zionists. You're talking about anybody who lives in Israel, I guess they think is a Zionist. But there's a photo up right now. It's an AP photo with one of these protesters in Emory with a "Victory to the Palestinian Resistance" sign. And I would just say that for anyone who tries to claim they're not pro-Hamas, Hamas is the Palestinian resistance in Gaza. There's no other form of Palestinian resistance other than the terrorist entity Hamas in Gaza. No one else is resisting the Israeli military there. So they are in fact pro-Hamas and are rooting for Hamas. Many of them, whether they recognize it in those terms or not, they are. They are the useful idiots of a jihadist terror entity that would and does and is open about how it seeks the destruction of the Israeli state and the murder of all Israeli men, women, and children if they could achieve it. And they think these are people, that's who they want to go and cry about on the quadrangle. That's who they're shrieking and screaming about. These are their great heroes.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think many of these universities, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, are hoping that with the end of the semester, the spring semester and graduation, maybe this will die down. And it is funny, as you pointed out, that they waited until weather's good enough in many parts of the country to actually be able to camp. They care desperately about this issue, but not desperately enough to actually get cold. So now the weather's good. How does it end? And does this linger? I think this 100% is going to be a major issue for Joe Biden in Chicago in the Democrat convention in August. I think these crazy people are going to show up. I think they're going to protest. I think that they are going to make it almost impossible not to be covering the external noise that is surrounding Democrats in August. And will they be back on campus because the weather's still good in August and September leading into the election for 2024?
I think the Israelis are going to finish down. They're going to finish their operation in Rafah and before any of that happens. And so then it would just be they're protesting what has happened and that doesn't, you know, had previously occurred. I don't see that being enough for them. So I think the Democrats may get a bit of a pass by the time.
So here's the other question on that. You could be right. What happens if Iran or any other Middle East actor, whether it's Hamas, whether it's the Houthis, whoever it is, decide that they want to have an October terror attack against Israel? Now, it could happen in the United States, and that would certainly be an awful October surprise here. But it feels to me very much like the Biden administration and whether this becomes an issue is in many ways out of their hands, because they could dictate in to a large degree, potentially, what the response is going to be. And I think the same thing.
They don't want to go up against Trump. They'd much rather have four more years of Biden. Look at how he's trying to play both. Trump wouldn't be sitting here like, you know, Hamas, Palestinians, beautiful, love the resistance. Like, he would be slamming this stuff if he were president, right? He wouldn't play the both sides game.
So you wait, if you're Middle Eastern terror actors, you wait and withhold your terror attacks till after the November election, and then
if you are any actor on the world stage, terror group, opposition state like China, Russia, anybody, you would rather have Joe Biden for four more years than Donald Trump as president. Because you can run circles around
him. I think that's true.
He's weak. He's feckless.
That would be rational terror leadership to say, hey, we don't want to do anything that could help Trump in some ways. If they're rational actors, that would be a rational
actor. I think on issues like that, they are rational actors. And why aren't they firing more and more missiles? Clay, they could have done something, I think, far more devastating even than what they did with firing at Israel. Now, there was an impressive response. I'm talking about the Iranians now, an impressive response to shoot down all those drones and rockets in the air. But, I mean, the Iranians have cells. They have Hezbollah cells all over the world. I mean, they could conduct a terror attack at any moment in time. The reason they don't do this all the time is because they're constantly calculating. Remember the question. Trump killing Soleimani was, in foreign policy terms for Iran, the ultimate brushback pitch. Because I remember this. I remember in my years at the CIA being in the conference room, hearing about what's going on in Iraq, and always knowing that at the White House there was this concern, oh, we can't do too much, even though Iranian militias, Iranian-backed militias, Iraqis with Iranian training and money and weapons, are killing Americans. We can't get too, oh, we can't kill too many of them, or we can't go across the border. We're scared of Iran. Trump was like, you know what? If you're the guy doing it, we're going to take you out. That was a huge change. Sorry, you have a question, but that was a huge change when he killed Soleimani.
I'm going to leave a tease here because I'm curious what your response is on this. We just gave $60 billion more dollars to Ukraine, and now they're trying to desperately hold on to the line and avoid collapse, and there's now reports out there that Ukraine's issue is not necessarily armament. It's just that they don't have enough men.
Men, yeah.
What happens in Ukraine between now and election day, because you got war in the Middle East, you think that'll be resolved in some way. What about Ukraine? What if Russia breaks through the lines? How does that play? And or is there basically an agreed stalemate there with the understanding that if Trump wins, they're just going to have a negotiated settlement and Russia is going to take whatever percentage of the land they have
now? I will tell you what I am confident will happen with Ukraine and Russia between now and the election and thereafter.
We'll talk about that when we come back. And just a reminder, Julie Kelly joining us at the bottom of the hour to talk about one of the most significant Supreme Court cases that we have heard for sure in the 21st century. What will the result be? What does she think is likely based on how the questioning at the oral arguments went today? As it pertains to presidential powers. Number one fantasy sports app in America right now, PrizePicks. Easiest, most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. And if you haven't downloaded it yet, do it. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, you against the number, players, not the teams. Look for the sports you know best. NHL playoffs underway, NBA playoffs underway, Major League Baseball pretty much every single night. Just pick more or less on any individual players on your favorite team. Every time you play 2 to 6 players, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action, MLB, NBA, and NHL, all in action every night, as I just mentioned right now. 30 states, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, California. You can get hooked up right now. You can play all over the country. Best way to get action, download the Prize Picks app, open your account, use my name right now, Clay, that's C-L-A-Y. You get up to $100 first deposit match. That is, you put in $100, they'll give you $100. They will double your money if you go to this website right now, prizepicks.com, and use my name, Clay. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prizepicks.com. My name, Clay.
From the front lines of freedom and truth, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. While Trump may get good news, and we'll talk about this with Julie Kelly here in a moment, based on the Supreme Court oral arguments that took place in the last couple of hours relating to presidential powers, there is negative news. Buck, you were just grabbing the E. Jean Carroll appeal. I believe it's, what, $88 million total in damages that she got on that case. Again, that they tossed out the statute of limitations on. This is a civil verdict where a jury determined that there was no rape, but there was sexual assault. And then a subsequent case alleging defamation based on that, which I still think is nonsensical when you actually apply the law here, but the first level of appeal in the New York case has said this can stand, basically, Buck, which has come down. And so that verdict of that was $88 million is still standing.
An $88 million defamation verdict is insane. And sometimes I think you just have to take a step back from this. I mean, why not $1 billion? Why not $1 trillion? I mean, $88 million? And in what way, how could they even begin to calculate that figure other than just malice against Trump? It's just the judge and the jury that heard this civil case despises Donald Trump, and they want to, if not bankrupt him, substantially. By the way, Truth Social, unfortunately, not worth what it was when they started. So
to be fair, Truth Social has actually bounced back. It's almost back to $40 a share. I would not touch Truth Social because, to the same way, it's people behaving to a large extent in an irrational fashion. That if you hate Trump, they're trying to short sell it. If you love Trump, you're willing to buy it.
But it's down 50. I mean, isn't it down 50%?
It got all the way to 80.
Yeah.
But it was, if you bought it, like, it's basically the same price that it was in January. So the stock went up to 80. It came back down to like 25. Now it's back up to almost 40. I would not touch Truth Social stock personally because it is a roller coaster and people are just betting on it based on politics. But he's still got a couple of $1 billion there in theory.
If the stock maintains, if the stock collapses, then he won't be able to get the money out of it that he would need to pay, or that he is going to be able to pay these judgments with. So that's a part of it too. But Clay, I just scanned again. We're scanning these decisions as an 18-page decision as fast as possible. All these different things that you would say, yeah, that seems reasonable. $88 million is crazy. And the judge to jury instructions seem one sided. And the judge is just like, nope, denied, shot down. $88 million. You owe her. Go for it.
The part that doesn't make any sense to me is, how are you guilty of defamation if you say I didn't rape someone? I don't know about you, but like, the jury didn't determine that he raped her, first of all, in the first case, but also otherwise you're forced to admit that you committed a crime, which is not true under the criminal context, right? So
for you in any crime against a person, it would therefore be illegal for you to maintain your innocence after the fact, after a jury verdict, and you could be bankrupted because you say you're still innocent.
That's right. Which is a big problem. That's the essence of why this case makes no sense to me. MyPillow's $25 extravaganza sale continues. First time MyPillow has put that $25 price tag on dozens of their best-selling items. If you've been waiting to buy one or more MyPillow products, now's the time. Find the new line of MyPillows made with Giza cotton or summer sandals, both now just $25 a pair. So are the Giza Dream Sheets. Also, the sheets out there, they're amazing. Sets of towels, so many other items, all $25. They can provide pricing this low because they've eliminated the middleman retailer and are passing the savings direct on to you. Find your way to MyPillow.com. Use our names, Clay and Buck, as the promo code. That's MyPillow.com. Radio listener special square. Free shipping on orders over $75. Use the promo code Clay and Buck.
All right, welcome back in. Our guest, you all know her, Julie Kelly, with us now. Check out Declassified. You can subscribe to that on Substack. That is Julie's publication there. It is excellent. I read it. Clay reads it. Julie, thanks for being here with us. I wanted to just jump into this. A lot of legal action going on today. Big Supreme Court case heard, going right to the heart of presidential immunity, the J6 case against Trump. Here is the headline from the New York Times. Wanted to have your reaction to it after hearing oral arguments this morning. Conservative majority seems ready to limit election case against Trump. Julie, I feel like I'm surprised that I'm going to have to say this, but from the New York Times lips to Trump's ear, to God's ears. What do you think?
Well, I think that they are probably right. And here's why. Because the big debate centered around official acts as president versus personal or even private acts. And there was a lot of discussion back and forth as to what represents an official act, what doesn't. And of course, that creates a whole slippery slope, which several of the justices, at least Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, Alito, had indicated serious concerns about, you know, who then becomes the referee as to what's official or a core function versus political, personal, private. And so going back to the indictment, and I really need to underscore this claim, Buck, we're talking about four counts. Okay, they talked a lot about murder. They talked about bribery, about initiating a coup, killing people. That is not what this indictment is about. It's really important for people to be reminded we're talking about four of the most vague statutes on the books, two of which we talked about last week and the Supreme Court addressed, 1512C2, obstruction of an official proceeding, extremely vague, and then two very vague conspiracy statutes. So these are not clear-cut laws, crimes, murder, bribery, drug trafficking, the things that we would expect a president to face criminal prosecution for. So in the indictment, there are certainly elements that are completely within the president's purview, such as replacing an acting attorney general with somebody else, which is what he considered replacing Jeffrey Rosen with Jeffrey Clark. There are other things that fall under official acts. Things get a little murkier. Even John Sauer, who is representing Donald Trump, admitted that, okay, using private attorneys, calling up political parties or officials, you know, to conceive or encourage them to come up with alternative slates of electors that might fall under personal / political. So I think that that's what the New York Times and others are hinting at, is that the indictment itself could have to be narrowed down, determining whether it's Jack Smith or this gets kicked back to Judge Tommy Chutkin, who was the one who originated the order denying immunity. And then she has to figure out official versus personal, hold some sort of evidentiary hearing to determine what falls under official, what falls under personal or private.
My biggest takeaway for the particulars of the timing here, Julie, is that there's virtually no chance now that any case other than the case that is currently proceeding in New York City is going to be decided before November 5th. That is a jury ruling. Based on the arguments today, and there are a lot more issues at scope than just Trump, and we'll maybe get to that with you in a sec, but would you agree with me that it's Alvin Bragg and then it's to the voters in terms of lawfare and what's going to be complete?
I do. I mean, we still obviously have the Southern Florida case prodding along, but, and there is a slim possibility that could go to trial before the election. But look, Clay, to your question, if the Supreme Court kicks this back to the district court, to Judge Chutkin, and says you need to hold these hearings to figure out what falls where, they also will have some choice words for the circuit court. I don't know if you guys caught that. Chief Justice John Roberts, not pleased with that 3-judge panel's decision, calling it tautological, you know, basically circular reasoning that they use to uphold Judge Chutkin's ruling. So if they kick that back, Clay, let's say they do wait until the end of June or even the end of May.
Sorry to cut you off, by the way. I wouldn't be stunned if they put this ruling come out on July 3rd, the day before the July 4th holiday, just to kind of bury it into that. Sorry to cut you off. I was looking at the calendar. That's kind of, it's the last case they're basically hearing. That could be a possibility if they wanted to hold it as long as possible.
True. That the end of their term is June, but to your point, Clay, they can issue orders, I believe, after that. So let's say that they do. Kicks back to Chutkin, you know, after 4th of July week is over, and she immediately orders, we're going to hold an evidentiary hearing 2-3 weeks after that. You have to file your motions, responses, et cetera. You know, they really start to run out of time. But I'm going to posit something even more terrifying than what we've talked about is going to trial in J6 before the election, is putting Donald Trump on trial after the election. Just imagine for a moment that they have the evidentiary hearings. Chutkin decides, okay, this part of the indictment, these acts are official, these aren't. It gets, you know, runs the gamut. And then they toss it back. Okay, this is settled. He can go on trial for private personal acts, and here are the ones that we determined. Then can you go to trial the end of November, December, early January, even if Trump wins, especially if he wins, that's another nightmare scenario that could be created by.
But he would be able to pardon himself then in that case if he won, even if he potentially got convicted. But you're right. I mean, this is honestly, I don't know why we still do this. I don't know why we have such a long period. What you're hitting at, Julie, November 5th until January, I'm not sure, 20th or whatever the date is when the officials. Yeah. I mean, that's a long time for a defeated president to remain in office. Historically, it used to not be till March, but that was because you had to travel long distances.
It's also time, you know, they have a transition that they're trying to prepare for. And, you know, I think it's meant to ease the situation. And they didn't prepare for four, now going on really five, criminal indictments against one of the candidates to be a part of.
But I mean, I think that like kind of abeyance area there is kind of a mess, as
Julie's
pointing out.
Can I ask you about, you know, this is another one of these things. It's kind of buried today. It's a big deal on any other day, but the Supreme Court arguments about whether the president could order a coup and effectively undo the constitutional order or not, et cetera, are pretty interesting. But 11 of the electors have been indicted in Arizona. The Arizona AG put out a video today, Chris Mays. What do you make of this? Like, they didn't indict Trump, but they indicted Mark Meadows. And, you know, it seems to be somewhat in parallel to or somewhat similar to the Georgia case, at least in terms of some of the conduct. What do you make of all this?
I mean, look, I tweeted this last night, and I hate to say it. You have to envy how Democrats understand how to coordinate, conspire, and leverage their political power. Here's a guy who probably really didn't, or a woman who really probably didn't even really win the Arizona Attorney General's race. But it doesn't matter, because as soon as they take office, they leverage and weaponize their power against their political foes. I haven't had a time to go through the whole indictment, just getting ready for today. But, you know, this is Georgia. This is Michigan. This is all to bolster the idea. But even though Trump is unindicted co-conspirator, it is to bolster what's happening here in this J6 federal case. And it's also a signal, and we heard a little bit about this today. Amy Coney Barrett really is disappointing. But to continue to raise the idea that asking for or having others create alternative electoral certificates is a crime, which it hasn't. The National Archivist told Congress, we get fake electoral or manufactured, made up alternative electoral certificates every presidential election. This is not new. So to criminalize it is also to warn people, if you protest in any way, the 2024 election, whatever happens, whatever stunts you want to pull, whatever you want to do to demonstrate against, let's say Joe Biden gets reelected, we are going to use our lawfare against you. And there's nothing to stop them. So this is really to, I think, add more optics, bolster the political and public view that there's something really criminal about concocting or pretending that you're, you know, sending in an alternative electoral certificate. Just ridiculous, but so, again, such a dangerous descent where we are headed, using this lawfare, not just federally, but state power, too.
Julie, last question for you. You mentioned South Florida. You've been covering that case. Judge Eileen Cannon has allowed a large amount of previously censored materials to be allowed to be displayed publicly. What should we know that is significant about what that has uncovered?
We should know, and I want to give kudos again to Judge Cannon. I know we've talked a lot about her, but it reveals, and this is why Jack Smith wanted all of this concealed. It reveals Joe Biden's White House, including some of his top attorneys and his general counsel's office, working collaboratively with the DOJ and archives to manufacture a records/documents case against Donald Trump. This completely flies in the face of what Jack Smith has alleged in his indictment there, but also what we've been told, that Joe Biden and his White House is completely hands off from this prosecution. So they were deeply involved, same players, DOJ, FBI, the archives, the intelligence community. This is like getting the Russiagate, FISA gate band back together. So kudos to her. There's going to be more on Feelings today. I will be posting later Julie_Kelly2, which is the grand jury transcript of the of Joaquin Nauta, Trump's close personal aide, also who has been charged in that case as well.
Julie, the grand jury, we should mention, by the way, Buck, that took place in Washington, D.C., before they then flipped the proceeding all the way down to South Florida. So yes, the Judge Cannon wasn't in charge of this.
Julie Kelly, Substack. You can all subscribe. Julie, real quick, before I let you go, I know Clay said last question, but I'm throwing in a last question because I'm really curious.
Right.
What do you think the biggest legal risk for Trump is now of all of the cases and scenarios?
I mean, right now, I have to think what's happening in New York. Unfortunately,
I thought you might say that because Clay and I were just talking about that. This actually, I think what we see happening puts more pressure on them to get even crazier in New York City, where they just have full control and there's really no oversight. Go check out Julie's Substack, everybody, Declassified. Julie, always appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Look, despite everything the Fed has been trying, we are still feeling the effects of inflation. Whether you're filling up your car, grocery shopping, making home repairs, everything is more expensive. And most of the time, we use a credit card to pay these bills. Credit card debt is at an all-time high. If you're a homeowner, there's a way out. Call our friends at American Financing. They can put together a plan to pay off that high-interest credit card debt and create meaningful savings for you every month. They're saving people just like you an average of $854 a month and closing in as fast as 10 days. Call their salary-based mortgage consultants today. It costs nothing to get started. And if you start today, you couldn't delay two mortgage payments, giving you greater savings up front. Dial American Financing at 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. That's AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334. NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Need a break from politics? A little comedy to counter the craziness? So do we. The Sunday Hang, a weekend podcast to lighten things up a bit. Find it in the Clay and Buck podcast feed on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Today, more than ever, we're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. And who has the time? HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and reviews your medical claims as they come in from your healthcare providers. Then, HealthLock's technology flags and alerts you to any errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and frauds to help you and your family save. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from selected past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save more than $130 million. Saving on medical bills starts with knowing where to look, and HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden medical bill errors. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. You know that I like to look, and Julie's phenomenal. I'd encourage all of you to go follow everything that Julie Kelly's been saying. She has been, in terms of analysis and trying to look in the direction that we are going, better than almost anybody out there. Everybody was ridiculing the idea that the Supreme Court was going to take up this obstruction case as to whether or not it could be applied from a business perspective, passed for Sarbanes-Oxley being used on Jan 6 cases. She was right. They're going to strike it down. I think she's right that there is only going to be now one case completed before we get to November, which makes me wonder, Buck, and I do think that everybody needs to prepare for this, as the realization starts to set in that all of this legal wrangling, they thought we're going to have Donald Trump in court March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, all the way up to Election Day. We're going to hit him with federal charges. There's going to be major convictions, and Joe Biden's going to ride into the sunset and win. Now, they're probably not going to get Trump in court at all, I don't think, in terms of daily. Until, I mean, let's say this case ends, Buck, mid-June, something like that. May end up sooner than that. They may or may not get a conviction. But I think what you're going to see as a result is, and we've been hinting at this, but I think you need to prepare for it, they're going to dial up the crazy in terms of the punishment that they're going to try to get on Trump as they become aware, uh-oh, this is the only bite at the apple we're going to get.
They would be doing so much. I agree with that assessment. You and I talked about it. You brought it up. I agree. Julie comes on. She says it without knowing that we had just agreed on this one, which makes me feel like this is what the trend certainly is right now, or this is where the momentum is. New York, which was the first one to go, the easiest for them to bring in terms of they were basically guaranteed full control over the process because of the jurisdiction and because of the far left progressive prosecutor, Alvin Bragg, who is calling the shots there. But the damage that they will do to any faith that we could have in our legal system, if they're able to use New York as this weapon, the charges in New York are a joke. An unfunny joke, but they're preposterous. I wouldn't put anyone in prison nor convict anyone, any human being. If Alvin Bragg himself were sitting there charged with doing what Trump is doing and I were on that jury, I would not convict him.
I agree.
It's wrong. It's wrong what they are doing. The charges are wrong. The stacking them the way they've done it is wrong. The delaying it so that it comes in the election year is wrong. Clay, top to bottom, inexcusable. And now it's looking more and more like that's their great hope to defeat Donald Trump. That's how they're going to get four more years for Joe Biden. The business records charge in New York.
We're going to play some audio from this Supreme Court case that we've got for you when we come back. I also want to point out, and I know I'm the optimist, there are gambling
Not
odds.
Not today.
There are gambling odds that make me very nervous. If you right now want to bet on who will win Wisconsin, who will win Michigan, who will win Pennsylvania, right now they've got Biden favored, which is why I need some caffeine and I need to hit Crockett Coffee.
If That's you right. love we need a America, refill.
Yes. If you love America, you need to go to CrockettCoffee.com. Feedback has been amazing. We want you to sign up for subscriptions and roll with us. Start off your morning and maybe your lunch break with us with CrockettCoffee.com. Seriously, go check it out. It's fantastic. We're adding a new light roast soon as well because so many of you have been asking for it.
If you've got a military, first responder, emergency medical, or government service background, GovX.com is for you. You stepped up to serve our country and communities, and GovX delivers unbeatable deals that you've earned.
GovX.com is the only site built exclusively to honor your service. Members save on epic brands and the gear they need for their on- and off-duty lives. You'll get incredible savings on tickets to live sports events, theme parks, and other entertainment. You can even save on travel, hotels, rental cars, cruises, and more. See if you qualify. Visit GovX.com. It's easy and totally free.
Use code BUCK in the shopping cart to get an extra $15 off your first order. GovX, savings for those who serve.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget.
Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young kids, builds specially adapted smart homes for severely injured veterans, and is working to eradicate veteran homelessness.
David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He has never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of his first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor.
Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.